Yud Aleph Elul, Toshin Samach Vav, September 6, 2006. We're continuing discussing Teshuvah, and in particular Vidui. And tonight we're going to have a little more of an introduction to Vidui, and then hopefully start Vidui itself. So the first we're going to discuss a few general aspects of Vidui, and then go to some halachas. The first thing is, if we look at the Vidui, we'll notice that it goes through the Aleph Beis order. Why is that? Why is it in the Aleph Beis order? And there are a few reasons given for that. One of the reasons for that is because it's easier, for a person to remember it by heart if it's in such an order. Ashamnu, Baganu, Gazalnu, and so on and so forth. We always make signs for ourselves to remember things, and the problem is that you forget what the sign was for, and then forget it all. But here, it's in the Aleph Beis order to help us remember it. That's one reason given. Another reason given, because it's coming to stress that we, with our bad actions, brought destruction to the world. And the world was created through these 22 letters. So we're going specifically in this order of the Aleph Beis to show now we want to correct ourselves. We want to do tshuva on that account. Now, just for a second to understand those words, everything which we've discussed in the past, everything which we do has an action, every action we do has a reaction, and we are all related on and all connected to each other as a Jewish people, and to the world at large, and the spiritual realms which we can't understand. So every single thing that we do has another action that is caused because of our action. An important point is to realize how important we are in everything that we do, no matter how small it is, how small that mitzvah might be. And then also on the other hand, and to realize how small that little avera might be, that little chet, a little sin, but really it has tremendous repercussions, who knows where it might be. And only when Mashiach comes, will Mashiach tell us and show us that the Tehillim, the prayers that we said, save that person in Eretz Yisrael from who knows what might have, God forbid, happened. And only when Mashiach comes, he'll show us that bracha, or that amen, or that whatever it might have been, that we said properly with kavana, we concentrated, and we came to learn, and whatever it might have been, Mashiach will show us how it helped in the future. The third reason given is as follows. Because it's coming to show that we transgressed the 22, with all of the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis that the Aleph Beis are written in, we have transgressed the Torah which were written with these letters. So now we want to come to repent, and we're coming to do the opposite now. We're saying, Hashamnu, Baganu, Gazalnu, I was choited you to you, to Hashem, I sinned to you, God, with the Aleph in whatever it might have been. And that's why the three different reasons why we're giving, why we say the Hashamnu, the Vidui, in this Aleph Beis order. It's clear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi.
Yes.
I have read that the world was created with the Hebrew letters.
Correct.
Can we say anything beyond that as to, can you elaborate on that in any way? In other words, I'm picturing the Hebrew letters, and I know each letter speaks out to me. I can't say why, but it speaks out in a way I know there's...
Okay, there's a lot to talk about that. Only thing is, I don't want to get too much off topic, so we'll discuss maybe later.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Just to continue on the path of the Vidui, we start with Ashamna, which we'll discuss. We have become guilty. It's in the plural form. You have the page? Right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. 833.
So it's 833 in the regular Art Scroll Siddur. If you want to see the Ashamna there, under each and every letter that a person will come to say. For example, we start with Aleph. So if a person knows he has, God forbid, he committed other sins in that category, so he should also include them in that category. For example, Aleph is a shamnu, as well as achalti b'loy bracha lefanav l'acharav, as well as I ate without making the proper bracha before and afterwards. So a person is this is the time to do tshuva on those chatayim. When the person, this is all coming from the Chai Adam, he elaborates on this point. He says another point. He says like this. He says that Aleph also refers to Achalti Nevelus Hatrefus Hashkotzim Ramasim. Person that he's saying that he's come to the tshuva for eating the forbidden foods, the animals which were not shechted properly, bugs and the like. And it's important to note that for each bug a person eats, each one individual bug, he could be transgressing 5 or 6 transgressions.
More than a chazi.
I'm sorry?
More than a pig.
Well, yeah, because it says the laven of bugs a few times in the Torah, so a chazer is, you know, is one that says, you know, don't eat it, and saying there could be others as well, but how many bugs does a person come across and it's a head of broccoli? You know, cauliflower. Now, we live in a day and age where if a person enjoys these vegetables and he has to have them, it is possible for the most part to get almost every single vegetable in a kosher way. They have the frozen vegetables and they could be heated up and cooked properly. That's not our class tonight. We're not discussing how to take care of that. But they are accessible. It's just worthy to note that each time a person is eating one of those achalti, shkotzim or masim, I ate those creepy crawly things, so that should go under the category of a shamnu. And so too throughout the whole entire vidui, whenever a person comes across, for example, beis is bagadnu, starts with the beis, so a person would maybe insert, birachti brach levatala. God forbid, I made a bracha for no reason. I said it in vain. A bracha shein tzricha for no reason. So he would fit in that category. The Chai Adam, Rabbi Avram Danzig, he elaborates on that point throughout his explanation on the Vidur.
Is it really expected that we would be eating trade meat?
Well, I'll tell you like this. When I read this, when I was learning this, I said to myself, nowadays, I mean, he himself, he'll tell you, I'll read the words, he himself says how, I'll just paraphrase, I don't want to take too much time, but he says that we don't realize that we eat meat, and after we eat the meat, it's known that it wasn't shechted properly. It was maybe some treifa, or that it was from an animal that wasn't shechted properly.
In this day and age?
So I was thinking the same thing. I said to myself, in this day and age, you know, it's not so common probably.
Yeah, because in America, they're much more machmir about whether something is treifa or not, because there's so many more animals.
Okay, I don't like to discuss these things, but only because you brought it up. So, could be you're the one at fault here. And we are being taped. Unfortunately, I just heard a few days ago that there was a very tremendous scandal. In a certain place, it's irrelevant where it was, somebody was selling food that was supposedly shechted, and it was not. So now we ask, does it apply to us in this day and age? And unfortunately, it still does. So for the most part, I happen to have agreed with you. And I just heard this. But what is very common is that people don't realize is that strawberries have to be checked for bugs. A lot of you have to cut different ways of doing it. Cut that top green part off, soak it in the salt, and rinse it off.
My son said something strange about soap.
Soap, sure. Soap, yeah. Cut the...
Soap.
You can take rewind, isn't it?
Soap.
Soap, yeah.
Well, it's a special kind of food soap that you put on to wash it. Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't mean the soap you wash your hands with, but, you know.
A special soap.
Yeah, you know, like you can use the soap that you wash your dish pans with. Your dish pans, you know, stuff like that.
It's diluted. Yeah.
Yeah. But you rinse off the soap afterwards. You don't want to eat the soap. It's It's kosher, it just doesn't taste everything.
I submerge it in water.
Right, it has to be in the water in the soap. Yeah, yes, correct. There are different ways.
I don't use the soap, I just cut off the green part.
You put out a little booklet last year that describes how to check and wash vegetables.
That was just one example how it's a common occurrence that people might not be aware of. And it's very important to realize the significance of that, which is, once again, we're not going to be discussing that tonight as well. If it's microscopic, it's permitted.
So these are
talking about things that can be seen with either the naked eye, or once this naked eye sees it, then under a magnifying glass, it can be more clear. But if something is microscopic, there is no issue. There's nothing wrong with eating. You know, when you open our mouth right now, you know how many things are going in our mouth? Yeah, that's the discussion for another time. Right, correct. Yeah, yeah. We can discuss that later also. Okay, so we continue with the Rokeach. One of the early Rishonim, he tells us like this. He tells us that when Klal Yisrael list their chatoim, that is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I forgive you. You confess, I forgive. Now it sounds very, very easy. As we go on, we'll see it's not so simple. The main part of the Vidoy says the Yisar V'Shar Shavayda is to take our lips and to pronounce the words and to, like we explained last week, to take that chait out of us and to say what we did wrong. That's what it means to confess. And to confess the chatayim, specifically when it comes to the sins between man and man. Sometimes there are sins that we realize, okay, we did things wrong between man and God. Sometimes we don't realize the severity of the sin between man and man, whether it be lashon hara, whether it be a knock at somebody. I wanted to say this before I began. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, "Hu haya oimer." He used to say. And then the Mishnah continues to list what he would say. So I once saw from the Medrash Chachamim, it explains, who he was what he was about to say. In other words, before he said it, he made sure he was such character. Now, when we discuss things tonight, it's very important. I'm just saying over things that I have to be working on, and there's no reason to feel that I'm excluding myself, and it's just a... I'm talking to myself, and we're just sharing a few things here. So, when a person doesn't realize it, but the little what he thinks might be little sins between man and man, those things have to be specifically worked on to do tshuva on those chatayim. Those little sins are one of the reasons why we don't have the Beis Hamikdash today. Why do we hit our chest? We hit our heart, I should say. Why do we hit our heart when we say the vidui? We bend down a little, and we're hitting our heart. So one of the reasons is because the eyes see, the heart desires, says the Gemara, and the hands finish the act. They have an expression they say by children, out of sight, out of mind. So at night when the parents are cleaning up, if they have a little snack that the kid had the previous day, they want to put away that snack so the kid won't see it, oh, then I want it. Now, the same thing applies to us as well as adults. We see it, we desire it, then we want it. And sometimes, God forbid, we take our hands and we continue with our desires, whatever it might be. So now, we are saying, Vida, we are confessing to God, I have sinned to you. You, the heart, and that hand, you were the agents of the sin. That is one of the reasons why we're hitting our chest, why we're hitting the heart.
Oh, the hands.
Right, because they were the ones who caused that sin. They were the one. Well, I didn't say it, but I don't see anybody in their eyes, so I wouldn't suggest it. I mean, it's an agent of the sin as well. What one should be doing, if he really means it, if he would be crying, those tears that he sheds is also a chelik, a portion of that tshuva for the eyes. Okay. Now, we say Vidui Erev Yom Kippur as well, even before Yom Kippur starts. What's one of the reasons for that? Because it's brought down, the Gemara explains, we're concerned the person might eat his meal, his last meal before Yom Kippur, and it might really be his last meal. He might choke on something and not make it to Yom Kippur. So we don't want this person to enter or to leave this world without having a confession, without having a vidui, so we have the vidui before Yom Kippur starts as well. That's the reason given. And I have to tell you something, I don't understand it. When was the last time we heard anybody choked? And we should never hear of any of this. What's going on over here? That's always bothered me. I was talking to Rabbi Young, and he helped me understand this a little better. And he said as follows. Yes, it's true. It's a very, if you will, far-fetched possibility. Very remote, right? But that is exactly the point here. We want to stress the importance of the vidui. That even for this minute possibility that might exist, that this person might, God forbid, choke and not make it, we want to stress the importance of having the confession, of confessing of the vidui. I think it changes, and that's one of the things we want to do tonight, is stress the importance of the vidui. Then he told me how Mr. Sam Bakel of Shalom told Rabbi Young that years and years ago there was a Rav in West Philly, he said, who during his Suda, he didn't choke on something, but he passed away. So, yes, it's very far-fetched for the most part that the person is going to choke. Hopefully he doesn't talk while he's eating. But nonetheless, the point is to stress the importance of the vidui. Another point which disturbed me, which we'll discuss soon, is how we mentioned that when a person says, Chatase, I have sinned, Hashem says, I forgive you. That being the case, once he says the first vidui, he says vidui again Yom Kippur, and then again the next time. I mean, if Hashem forgave us already, what are we saying vidui for? So, once again, Rabbi Young gave me a little more insight to this, and he said as follows, that the second time that person is saying vidui, he's a different person. He's a higher person. He's on a higher level. So that type of tshuva that he did before, that was good when he was that person back then. But now he elevated himself to a different person. So it's a whole different category now. So now he needs a tshuva on a higher level.
How many times do we say it together?
So including, we have also including the Chazar Sashas as well, which we had the need to do. So we have the Mincha one. And then we have Mariv, says over here. We say vidui. So we say vidui before by mincha time, and then after that we say vidui again. Then we say vidui again after the suud as well. I'm sorry, by at night time.
Marif,
right? And then in shachris again. Then after shachris by musaf. And after Musaf, we say Vidui again by Mincha. And then, by Ne'ilah. After Ma'ariv read that Ma'ariv, Yontif is over. And by each one of those,
we repeat it
as well.
Six,
correct.
2, 4, 6, 8. 10. 10.
10, correct.
10 times. Wow.
Correct. And the last one by Ne'ilah is a shorter version of the whole entire. Now, we have this concept that we see children, we're very proud of them, that with their benching or their davening and their shuckling, but really they have no idea what they're saying. It was just last year, I was involved with a youth organization, Pirchei, and I was asking anybody who needed a bencher. So everybody's raising their hand, So I find it very funny when I gave this little boy a bencher, and I know he doesn't know how to read, because it was in my daughter's class. So she did not. They didn't teach him how to read yet. So, you know, they take the bench. He knew the words by heart, maybe, but it's a situation where it's a cute thing to see little kids saying words, and then you hear the words being said a little incorrectly, you know. But the problem is, sometimes the kids grow up, and they become adults doing the same thing as they did when they were kids. So that's one of the main points why not only do we have to study it here tonight, but also study it on our own, and to realize the importance of standing in front of God and saying words, please forgive me, and if God forbid we don't know what we're saying, it's a major problem.
Do you think it's better than to say this in English, unless we really know what we're saying, or have better? Normally
there could be a good argument for that, but it's better in the first place, now that we have a few weeks beforehand, to try to take the art school has beautiful work, the other Mahzorim as well, and to try to work in it like that, to get the English with the Hebrew.
I have a question.
Sure.
You mentioned this last week, but just to reiterate.
Okay.
Where it says, we have been guilty, we have betrayed, robbed, spoken. Are we saying that in behalf of the Jewish community, or are we saying that personally, or...
We are saying all of this in a plural form. That's one answer. Another answer is also a topic which I don't discuss because I don't know. I confess I have no understanding of it.
About?
No, the confess part was.
Oh,
yeah. That's all right. Yeah. A little later. Is that there's something called a Gilgal. Previous lifetime, and it could be in that lifetime. We don't know that lifetime existed, and we are now here in this world to correct those sins that a person might have committed back then. So even if a person says, well, I didn't do all that, but I'm not such a bad person, look what this person did here. I can't even say that. How can I say it and mean it? But it could have been a different lifetime as well. Okay, so we continue now with the importance of doing the mitzvah with kavana. Mitzvah vidui is a mitzvah deraisa. Mitzvah deraisa, a positive commandment, we have to say, tell ourselves beforehand, we are coming to fill the commandment, the will of God, to confess on Yom Kippur. Everybody is obligated to do tshuva, to say the vidui, whether it's men or women, doesn't matter. And the main aspect of the tshuva is the vidui itself, is the confession. As well, it's not just saying the words, but understanding what we're saying, and to say it with a broken heart. We're going to get to that in a minute, yeah. I'm not, by tonight's class, we're not going to be finished and slowing them down. That's not the point here. But we're going to discuss that although the rate that and speed that they go, we should still try to go at our own pace. Right. The Chofetz Chaim says as follows. Chofetz Chaim says that each person has to concentrate and contemplate to himself before the days of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur start, which is now Elul. And he has to realize that he has to study these tefillos beforehand in order to come to the Day of Judgment being prepared. He says, just like we would stand in front of a regular judge, we would have to be prepared before we go to speak in front of him. So too over here as well. How much more so? We're coming to discuss matters of life and death. In front of who? In front of Melech Malchei Melechim, in front of God Himself. And he says that vidui is from the letter of the law, is after a person already was mischarit, after he felt bad on what he did, and then he realizes the sins that he did, then he comes to confess. The person has to first feel bad beforehand. So once again, it's very important when a person comes to say the vidui throughout the Yom Kippur, or throughout anytime, he has to realize he is now coming to fulfill the positive commandment of confessing in front of God. As we know that the positive commandments need kavanah. Yes?
Quick question. With the all-important sin of Rosh Hashanah.
Yes.
Is that a sin against Hashem, or is it a sin against maybe the person who was in the subject?
So, very good question. Obviously, we would say it's a sin against man and man, because it's, we're talking about, we're slandering that person. However, every commandment, to some degree, every commandment which is man and man related is also God-given. So a person who is transgressing that commandment and not being friendly with his neighbor, so he's also transgressing the commandment of God. He's also attacking God as well, if you will. Just a few weeks ago, I saw an elderly man. He was looking for a paper towel after he washed his hands. So I tried one machine, and they have these new fancy machines over there that just wave your hand in front of it, and the paper towel comes out. So he didn't realize how that worked. He was looking for the switch. So I gave him a paper towel, and he starts giving me a whole drasha, a whole speech. Yeah, I'm being polite, listening. And he said to me, "Do you realize what you just did?" He said, "You did an act of kindness." He said, "Do you realize what you did? It's kindness. Chesed." So I'm just thinking, listening, kind of talk. He said, "Do you realize that acts like this, it's what makes God happy? He is happy when he sees his children acting nicely with each other." Then he tells me he's a great-grandfather. And he says to me how if someone gives a lollipop or does something good for his grandchildren or great-grandchildren, he says, "I love that person." So when he says, when Hashem sees us acting nicely with each other, he loves us as well. He gives us good things as well. And he couldn't be more correct. The only difference between him and many of us is that he was mefarid, that he spoke it out. He discussed it. He elaborated it.
Not in the bathroom, I guess.
No. This is not in the bathroom. No. As we discussed the halacha many, many months ago, we don't talk in the bathroom. Okay, that's not the place of conversation. Yes.
I am so terribly frustrated with the events of world opinion and absolutely flipping things around, and you look for possible answers, but I understand from various sources, okay, that if we do our thing, that's all we need to be concerned. All the rest will take care of itself.
Correct. Well, Hashem will take care of it. Right.
Right. We don't have to get into all this, how this one is beating up on this one, and this one turns the truth around.
No, I know the tape is going on, and that they have those bumper stickers, CNN and lies, you know, not CNN lie, but CNN lies, right? That's not for us to be, I don't want to use the word concerned, but we can't save the world in that fashion. We can save the world by improving ourselves. We are what's called the Olam HaKatan, that small world. And each and every one of us, like we said from the beginning of the Shir, that we're all connected to much greater spheres, and much, much greater elements. So when we improve ourselves, we do our mitzvahs, we daven properly, we learn properly, we relate, and we elevate the whole entire Jewish society. The only reason why they have that power is because we are not doing our job properly. That's what it is. It's like a seesaw. When one's up, one's down. That's the way it works. The main aspect of Vidui, once again, is the charoto, is feeling bad, leaving the chait behind, and specifying what the chait was. Now, when a person comes to elaborate on the chataim, to say what he did wrong without looking for a way of improving it is a little hypocritical. to tell the police officer, I'm sorry, you know, I'm sorry for speeding. And as he says, okay, you know, I'll let you go this time. So the cop is going back to his car, and he speeds off right again, you know, once again. He radios up ahead to us, the cop car, and he says, pull him over again. I said, what happened? He tells him, well, listen, if you drive a Ferrari, wouldn't you do this? So, whatever the case might be, we have to sit down with ourselves, look ourselves in the mirror, and see where can we attack those issues, that those aspects of the world, that the world are attacking us, like you just explained. But you want to fight that? We have to fight within ourselves first. And we have to find ways and resolutions to correct those issues. And we have to
take responsibility
for our actions, yes. Personal actions, yes. But we also have to be careful not to go overboard. We can't be too hard on ourselves. If we get too hard on ourselves, then a person might get depressed, that's the Yetzer Hara, then he's got us, and that's not what Hashem wants from us. So Vidui has to be said, like you mentioned a few minutes ago, slowly, clearly, properly. Just a few quick halachas, and then we'll get to the Vidui itself, we'll start that tonight. The Vidui should be said, ideally after we said, we have the Vidui in front of us, after we say the words, Yihyu l'rotzin imrei fi v'hegen livi lefanecha. Okay, we have that? Okay, that is the normal way we end the Shemona Esrei. So before we start the Vidui, we would say that part of the Shemona Esrei as well, and then we would continue, we would commence with the Vidui. You know what I'm referring to, right? At the end of... Oh no, so you have the one here by the Slichus. You want to go to the one by Yom Kippur. Do we have it over here? I don't see it in this... one second. No, I don't see it here. Where is it? They have it right there in that one. 4 or 2, I think. On the blue ones. Not that blue one, but... Steve, the blue one you have, yes. Right. Page, I think it's 4 or 2, is that correct? The regular Yula Rotzen at the end of Shemona Esrei. So one would say that before he continues with saying the Vidui. You have it?
Yeah.
You have it, Steve?
Yes.
Okay, so you see the Yula Rotzen? You just pick up the sitter a second. Right, okay, so right above, I think, there you go, right there. So you would say the Yula Rotzen, okay? Just like we do normally. Here, look. Here's a Vidui. That's the Vidui. So you say the Yehilu Rotzen, this one right here. Yehilu Rotzen Refi, V'hegen Nigla Fanecha, Hashem Tzuri V'goyle. Let's say that before we start. Now, what that does is that enables us to, if we hear Kaddish or Kedusha, we would answer that during the Hashem, the Vidui itself. We would stop saying Vidui and we'd answer to that. Vidui should be said standing up and not leaning on anything, that if we would take away that shtender or a table, then the person would fall over. He should be in the standing up position. However, he should be bent down to some degree. If ideally, he should be bent down, and that's when he's hitting his heart. As we mentioned, even though he said the Vidui during his own Shemona Esrei, he goes and repeats it again the second time during the Chazaras HaShas with the Chazan as well. One is not allowed to speak during Vidui. However, he's allowed to answer, like we said, Kaddish or Kedusha. And once again, we mentioned that women are also obligated in this mitzvah of Vidui. And now, let's begin the actual Vidui itself. Ashamnu. Well, the truth is really begins before that. Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, God and the God of our forefathers. Why do we mention the God of our forefathers? Because we always want to bring their merit to on our behalf. As the Gemara discusses in Brachos Daf Yud, we mentioned this in the past, that we never say, God, look at the chesed, the kindness that I just did for this person. Please help me because of what I just did. We never want to elicit our rights, our merits. We want to always bring their merits.
Isn't that our sole merit, basically?
For the most part, for a major degree. That's how we start Shemona Esrei. Lokei Avraham, right? Elokeinu, Elokei Oseinu, Lokei Avraham, the God of our fathers, the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We once again bring it up to the forefront. Tovei Lefanecha, may our prayer come before you. V'atis'ala mitchinoseinu, and do not ignore our supplication. Why not? She'ein anu azeifanam k'she'arif, because we are not so brazen and obstinate to say that we have not sinned. Loimar Lefanecha, to say to you, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem our God, Elokei Oseinu, once again this expression in the God of our forefathers, Tzadikim anachnu lechatanu. We don't have the chutzpah, the audacity, the gall to say that we are righteous people and we have not sinned. Rather, aval anachnu v'avu sinu chatanu. We're going to spend a few minutes on this and then we'll end with tonight. Aval anachnu v'avu sinu chatanu. But anachnu, we, v'avu sinu chatanu. So once again, the Medrash tells us, once we say those words, chatanu, Hashem says, I forgive you. Chatanu, we have sinned, I have sinned. Why are we including over here the words Avaseinu, Chatanu, that our fathers also have sinned? So, we connect our fathers have sinned with the word Chatanu. Chatanu is a sin, b'shoigeg, by error. Not with rebellious act, not with intention, but mistakenly, on the lower level. To some degree. On some degree, it's in a greater level because a person should have paid more attention. So one explanation is given as follows. The Marsha explains this on the Gemara in Yuma, that because of a person's father's mistakes, his children made the same mistakes. The father didn't educate the children properly. Then the children continue to making those same mistakes. That's why we incorporate over here, Aval anachnu v'aviseinu chatanu. We, anachnu, v'avoseinu chatanu, and our fathers sinned as well. It comes to stress the importance of a proper Torah education. On another point, when people are still connecting with the same sin that their forefathers did, that's another reason why it says, v'avoseinu chatanu. We're not coming to stress necessarily the sins of the forefathers, but we are following in their bad footsteps, their evil footsteps. Rabbi Levi Chassman, who was one of the yeshivas of Hebron Yeshiva, Slobodka Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, passed away in around 1936, 1937, around that time. He says, if we really look back and see ourselves and ask ourselves, are we saying a correct, proper vidui? Like you mentioned, you brought up the point. We're saying it sometimes a little fast. He says the vidui itself will show us that we're not. How's that? How does the vidui show us that we don't say it properly? Because what happens when you come to say the vidui? We get up there and we take our hand and we bend down. He said, what are we doing here? He said, we are admitting to God that we have committed these sins. He said, this is the proof, what he says now. He says, how hard is it for a person to admit to somebody, a human being of flesh and blood, that he wronged him? How hard is it?
Hard.
It's hard. We all know. We all know whenever we make mistakes, we can't spit out those words. We can't say it. A few weeks ago, Baruch Hashem, everybody is fine. I was driving in a certain town. There was a car double parked. I was squeezing through the spot. And the car on my left was coming out. And he slashed my tire. And he dented my door as he hit me in the car. So, right away, people on the street start screaming, don't move, don't move. I didn't know how big the damage was. The car would barely move. And I open the door. This person, the teenager, runs out. Says, didn't you see me? What are you doing? So I think to myself, wait a minute. Didn't he just hit me? I was driving straight. He's coming out of the spot. So right away he tells me, don't call the cops. I'll pay for it. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, this person's a little interesting. He's blaming me, but yet he wants to pay for it. So I said to him, he said, didn't you see me coming? I said, I'm driving straight. The person who goes straight, drives straight, he has the right of way. He said, I was right there, I was coming out of spot. Why are you going so fast? I said, so why do you want to pay for it? You want to pay my mortgage also? So obviously he realized he's wrong. He didn't want to call, he didn't want to get the cops involved. The whole major issue is...
Well, insurance could be a big thing.
Yeah, it was a big thing. Yeah, I don't know. It was a major issue. Make a long story short.
He's applying a little intimidation.
Yeah, well, he felt the guilt right away.
Right.
You know, it was a whole issue. I felt bad for him. Make a long story short. Around 4.5 hours later, that's how long things dragged out for. That's how long it dragged out for. He finally said to me, yeah, I was wrong. Here we come now, and we say, Ashamnu, I have become guilty to you, God. Baganu, I have betrayed you, God. Gazalnu, I have robbed, I have stolen. Dibarnu Doifi, we have spoken slander, Lashon Hara. And we just go on and on and on. He said, Leib Chasman said, is that the way to confess? Just say the words and go on. So I was just thinking about the situation that I had a few weeks ago, and we all know personally with ourselves how many mistakes we make. Kavana is the key. Kavana is the key. We'll end here tonight, and God willing, we'll start with Ashanu next week with more details. Just to bring out, like you just said, Steve, that's the point, to learn the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah, of Yom Kippur, of the Slichos, to realize that we're standing literally in front of Hashem, to realize that the books of life and death are open in front of us. That's why we stress a lot tonight on the importance of saying vidui, that this is the real business over here. Nothing to be taken lightly. And God willing, we'll continue next week.